And was the bacon or sausage, was that made on your own farm?
Well, usually, but you know, a person might use up their supply and then later in the... You see, as I mentioned earlier, the time that they slaughtered these hogs and so on was in the winter, when the weather's coldest, because there's less danger of losing, the, you know, during cold weather. And then, of course, it's stored in this smokehouse, and it might be that a long time of midsummer, maybe it's all used up. Or it also might be that that some kind, there were such, there were insects of some kind that would get into it, don't you know? And so that maybe some of it might have to be thrown away. But I think in most of the poor folks didn't have to worry about that. It was usually gone by the time. And then any meat they had in the hot weather was usually, it was usually beef, because it's more easily kept than pork. For some reason, pork is an awfully ticklish thing. And now that's the first time I went off to college, one of my classmates was a Jew, and he said that the real reason that so many foods were considered unclean by the Jews, and pork in particular, was because it was so dangerous. Mm-hmm. It spoils so easily and makes people deathly sick. Nothing's worse than ptomaine poisoning. I'd always thought it was purely a religious matter, but he said it was no, that actually your elders were more than just religious people. They were your board of health, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your bacon in those days wasn't pre-sliced. What did you do?
Each family had a butcher knife and they sliced it themselves. You'd slice off what you want to prepare for breakfast, just like you'd grind your coffee for breakfast. See, you grind about a teaspoon, the coffee.
Not me, I'm the coffee.
In those days, coffee was imported, the whole grain. Well, actually, it's sort of like the peanut, you know, when the peanut was separated and then two little halves, flat on one side and round on another. Oh. Coffee is like that. It's round one side and flat on another. The two of the little halves in each pod. So the coffee is, the dry coffee was bought, you see, in the bag or can, and it was a green in color, about the color of English peas. Just about the color of English peas, or okra seed, something on that order. And so the first order of business was to roast it. And then it's softer now that it's been roasted, and now it grinds easily.
You mean each family roasted their own?
They roasted their own, and they ground their own day by day. For example, you put a cup full of, out of this bag of, well, you buy the coffee in bulk, you see. And then you pour out a baker full of it that you put in your oven and roast, stirring it occasionally. Right. And then that makes it soft. And it makes it dark. It turns it from green to brown. Now when you grind it, of course you know what the ground coffee looks like.
Yeah.
Next thing is to boil it. Or I never heard of a percolator until I was nearly grown. The old rule, you just put it directly in the pot and boil it.
Was it a manual grinder?
Yes. The one my mother had was attached to the kitchen wall. And in the little poem I read about the coffee mill, it's that coffee mill served as an alarm clock. When you heard mother grinding coffee, you knew that it's time to get up. Because
mm-hmm.
breakfast will soon be ready. And so you get up and get ready.
I bet it smelled good.
It was delicious. I don't think there's anything that smells better than coffee perking. It's
not
just great.
Morning.